Postcards from Beyond, written and narrated by Paul Harris. Learning to breathe. The Buddha's teaching is designed to help us find freedom from all restless seeking and the ignorance that causes it. The Buddha maintained that the one way to do so was through mindfulness. Mindfulness is a window of awareness that you create by consciously restraining craving and developing the capacity to remain settled and alert in the moment. This, in turn, allows you to observe the wonderfully evolving mystery of life that has been going on right under your nose but unnoticed the whole time. To help us accomplish this, the Buddha taught a method called Anapanasati, which means mindfulness of breathing. The breath is a most wondrous, life-sustaining process, running quite automatically, day and night, supplying oxygen to the body and removing carbon dioxide from it. For the most part, however, it is something that we take utterly for granted. Being mindful of the breathing process, though, can show us incredible things about the way in which life actually works. Someone once asked me how it was possible to become wise just by watching the breath. Wisdom arises from experiencing life as it really is. Watching the breathing process unfold is watching life unfold, and the direct understanding of the fundamental characteristics of life is what we call wisdom. Everyone has the capacity to watch the breath, and therefore everyone has the potential to be wise. Learning to watch the breath mindfully also helps to develop a whole host of other beneficial mental qualities, such as the capacity for deep concentration and focus, intent, tranquility, equanimity, and fascination. As a result of learning to watch the breath, you naturally tend to be much more enthralled with what is happening in your immediate experience, not just during meditation, but also at other times too. The breath is a very suitable object for developing mindfulness, which is why the Buddha chose it. It's always freely available. You don't have to carry it around in your pocket, and you're not going to lose the breath like you might sometimes lose your car keys. The breath is a neutral object, that's to say, one which is unlikely either to overstimulate the mind or make it irritable or dull. As everyone knows, observing the breath does help you calm down. If you're anxious, then people will always recommend that you take a few deep breaths. Watching the breath has, therefore, this capacity to ground us and bring us back to reality. There are different ways you can watch the breath. Some people teach watching the whole of the breath, coming from the movement of the diaphragm, all the way up through the lungs, up into the throat, up through and out of the nose, and then all the way back in again. Other people suggest just observing the breath as it enters and leaves the tip of the nostrils. Here at the House of Inner Tranquility, we teach the observation of what is essentially the movement of the abdomen that occurs due to the breathing process. In principle, one can develop concentration by giving your undivided attention to pretty much any object, and so one way of observing the breath is not better than another. As it happens, though, attending to the movement of the abdomen encourages deep breathing, which is very healthy, but that's really a side benefit. The most important thing is to choose one object for contemplation and be prepared to stick to it through thick and thin. How do you practice mindfulness of breathing? To provide a solid foundation for meditation, it's important to live life in an ethical and relatively blameless way. It also helps tremendously to have a reasonably quiet and tidy, secluded place to practice. The first thing, then, is to set a timer so that you won't be distracted during the session with thoughts about how long there is left to go. A daily half-hour session is usually manageable for most people to begin with. As for posture, sitting cross-legged is not strictly necessary. For most Westerners, sitting in a chair is far more comfortable and sustainable. What's important, however, is to have a straight spine. If the back starts to droop, it interferes with the flow of the breathing. So you want your rib cage to be up a bit, but you don't want the posture to be forced. Inevitably, when we're sitting in meditation, the head does tend to drop a little due to gravity, and it's okay to lift it very gently up again. But other than that, it's important not to move. As we practice mindfulness of breathing with eyes closed, keeping the back straight is also an important aid to wakefulness. When we begin the session, we need first of all to establish mindfulness. Many people just rush in thinking, "All right, I've got half an hour, I need to make every moment count." They just zoom straight into watching the breath, and within a few moments they are either very tense or fast asleep. A session of half an hour or an hour is plenty of time. It pays to make haste slowly by going into the meditation gradually and first establishing a general level of mindfulness. It's very helpful to ask yourself questions such as, "What can I hear? What can I sense in my body? What is the current state of the mind?" Or, "What's going to happen next?" And then observe your experience without any preconception about what should or should not be happening. If, for instance, you are meditating after work, then it's very likely that there will be lots of thoughts about work. The mind wants to throw up all these thoughts, memories, and perceptions to get rid of them, so it makes sense to stay alert and, with a non-judgmental outlook, give the mind time to settle. This, in turn, also gives the body a chance to become more peaceful and settled. Once you feel mindful, balanced and alert, then you can turn the attention to the sensation of the rise and fall of the breath. There is no special breathing technique to employ. We just breathe normally. What, though, is normal breathing? There really is no such thing. The breath is always changing. This is one of those things that you come to see fairly quickly when you start practicing Anapanasati. Breathing at one time is not the same as breathing at another. Perhaps it's coarse and fast, with the heart rate quite high when you start the meditation. But sometime later, the body has settled so that it does not need so much oxygen going around the system, and the breathing just becomes naturally shallower. Then maybe you start thinking about something, perhaps a hindrance to meditation like sensual desire or irritation pops up, and suddenly the heartbeat is going a little quicker and the breath has changed again. Other times you can't detect the breath at all, and some people think they must have died. If you have a similar thought when meditating, it helps just to bear in mind that if you are asking the question at all, then in all likelihood you are not dead. Being caught up in such thinking is just one potential obstacle to the process of observing the breath. There are many different things that interfere with the simple process of just observing the breath. Sense desire, ill will, sloth, worry and doubt, to name but a few. Most of the problems, however, are resolved if we get the basic attitude towards mindfulness of breathing right. The right attitude is to be totally interested in the breathing, which means you are not at all interested in what watching the breathing will give you. If you are forever concerned about whether you are getting calm or whether insights are on the horizon or whether you are doing it properly or whether you are not doing it properly, the mind will never get calm. You will never reach that point of rest, that point of contentment that comes with mindfulness of breathing. Imagine, for example, that you are sitting on your sofa at home, snuggling up with your loved one, watching a film on TV. Your loved one starts asking, "Am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Am I watching this film correctly?" You think, "You mad person, what on earth are you going on about? Those are crazy things to say." That is often, however, what we do in the meditation, isn't it? We wonder if we are correctly watching the breath. You don't sit down to watch a movie, though, in order to be really good at watching a movie. You do so to get engrossed in the movie, to the point that you forget that you are even watching a movie. Do you see the difference? It's the same with watching the breath. It's taking total interest in the breath itself to the exclusion of everything, to the point where there is no perception that you are meditating at all because the interest is totally on the breathing. Becoming fascinated in the breath initially is not easy, and it can help to artificially generate interest. One way of doing so is to estimate the characteristics of the breath. Say you begin a meditation, and you're a little out of breath, and the heart is pumping fast. You can take note to yourself that the breathing is short and fast. Then, as the body begins to settle down, the breathing gradually lengthens and slows down. This change can be noted. As the body really starts to calm down and the heartbeat slows, the breath becomes very small and also quiet. As you progress, you can also begin to detect other characteristics of the breathing. Sometimes it's coarse, sometimes it's fine. Sometimes it's jagged, sometimes it's smooth, sometimes it's quite warm, and other times it feels cold. Sometimes you perceive the breath as an up and down motion, whereas other times as an in and out motion, or as an expansion and contraction. When there is an inhalation, perhaps it normally feels like everything is moving up. But then you might perceive that there are muscles which are actually moving down at the same time. Do you get the idea? You are just so immersed in observing the breathing process that you forget about everything else, including the fact that you are meditating. If you are taking a real interest in the breathing process, then when distracting thoughts arise, they're not a problem at all. Have you ever had the experience of working on a project that you really don't want to do? You just want to do it to get rid of it. If then someone has the temerity to ask you a question, you immediately snap at them. Whereas, when you are really enjoying what you're doing and someone interrupts, you really don't mind at all. After the disruption, of course, all you're going to do is go back to something you were really taking a pleasure in. It's the same with meditation. If you are enjoying what you are doing, then disturbances never need become distractions. Through training the mind to take an interest in the breathing process, a natural fascination begins to emerge. It also brings a sense of well-being, a lovely feeling of happiness and rapture that wells up from deep within and pervades the whole body. Both mind and body start to feel extraordinarily light, spacious and tranquil. It becomes even easier, therefore, to let go of distracting thoughts, feelings and sensations. As a result, you remain beautifully even-minded and can focus effortlessly on the rise and fall of the breath. Once you get to this level of mindfulness, you have a choice to make. You can continue to develop and deepen levels of concentration through observing the breath to the exclusion of everything else. This is what in Buddhism we call samatha, or calming meditation. Alternatively, you can use mindfulness of breath to generate insight wisdom, which we call vipassana. The Buddha recommended both because both results in kinds of freedom. The freedom that comes with samatha is a calm, restful state of mind. It's the freedom, for a while, from any resistance to life whatsoever. It's blissful, peaceful, and deeply alluring, and there is a strong sense of unity and connection to the universe. It's a joy to experience. There is only one drawback, and that is that it is temporary. The effects will last for a little while after you've meditated, but in order to get those effects back, you have to keep working at developing the mindfulness and concentration. That's one kind of freedom. The other freedom comes through practicing vipassana and developing insight wisdom into the truly transient, unsatisfactory, and selfless nature of the breath and all other possible experiences. Vipassana leads to an understanding that is transcendent to the flow of conscious experience. This understanding ends all existential angst and psychological dependency. It's also blissful and happy, but in a sublime way that surpasses even the most vaunted state of concentration. This understanding is not transient. It does not come and go. It is therefore permanent, undying freedom.